fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Coming up this morning on the show, the media goes crazy because Trump does not visit the troops at Christmas time about 4 hours before Trump visits the troops at Christmas time, a big part of the show. Then once he goes, they're not happy that he went. They don't like how he handled it. I know none of this is a surprise. And an update on the migrant child that died in U.S. custody. All that coming up this morning on the Glenn Beck Program. My name is Mike Broomhead. Stick around.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
If you experience pain on a daily basis, I know exactly how you feel. It can be debilitating. It can control your life. The aches are easy to understand. When it really hurts to do the basic chores, emotionally, the effects of pain can be just as dramatic. I have spoken to so many people in this audience that have started to take Relief Factor. The change emotionally is as dramatic as the physical relief, maybe even more. As you might know, Tanya and I started taking Relief Factor several months ago. After about 10 days, subtle changes started to become significant, and I've been able to stop taking all prescription pain medications, all pain medications entirely, and stop the terrible side effects of those awful drugs. Many on my team here at The Blaze are faithful takers of the 100% drug-free Relief Factor, and we have had great success in taking our lives back. Try it. Get a 3-week quick start package for only $19.95. Take it as directed. That's less than a dollar per day, and if it works on you like it has with me, you're going to get your life back. ReliefFactor.com.
Good morning. My name is Mike Broomhead. This is the Glenn Beck Program. In for Glenn the next couple of days. Appreciate your time with us. Happy New Year. Looking forward to a great new year as the president makes a surprise visit to the troops in Iraq and in Germany. And in true fashion of the media, and this is my mantra, as I've promised my audience in Phoenix, Arizona, my mantra moving forward is going to be about holding the media accountable. Their job is to hold the government accountable. That's why they enjoy certain protections. And they always should enjoy those protections. The media should be able to be critical of the government. But when they choose sides, when they only give you a one-sided piece of the story, you have to understand the danger that they pose. So the big topics this morning have to do with the media and the underreporting of what the facts are. People are good critical thinkers, and this is where I think education has missed the boat. I think this is where the media misses the boat. If you give people the full story, both sides of the story, they will figure it out. You are giving them a narrative, and that has never been more true than it is today. For whatever reason, the media, and I thought the hatred of George W. Bush was pretty heavy. I volunteered for the Bush campaign back in 2004. And I thought the disdain by the media for George W. Bush was pretty heavy. I've never seen an overt disaster like this. CNN used to be the network that was on in airports because it was kind of middle of the road to kind of deliver the news. They covered breaking stories. They did a good job with those things. And it didn't make anybody mad because it was kind of a news network. Those days are over. They have been so in the tank to destroy this presidency that they don't even have intellectual honesty on any level. MSNBC has gone down the same road. Morning Joe. Joe Scarborough makes a living of trying to destroy Donald Trump. NBC News was very critical of the president, saying he's broken recent tradition. He hasn't visited the troops at Christmas time. All presidents have visited the troops at Christmas time. And then they had to make an announcement. Oh, right after that, he visited the troops at Christmas time. And then they bring on people in the different networks to tell you why this was a horrible thing, how bad this is, how terrible it is. But the fact of the matter is the troops loved it. The men and women that were there were it was a celebration. There was cheering that was obviously not coerced. These were men and women that were thrilled to see the commander in chief in both Germany and in Iraq. So if that's the case, what's the problem? Well, the problem is it doesn't fit the narrative that this president is hated. Isn't it odd that the president's poll numbers seem to be mirroring and had for a long time the popularity of both Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and even Ronald Reagan in the first year or two of their terms when they weren't popular? Changes were being made, people were being moved, things were being done. But for whatever reason, if you watch anything in traditional media right now, you would believe that the entire country hates Donald Trump. Here's the problem. I am myself. I'm not a sycophant at all. I am a convert. I've become a defender of this president because the media has been immensely unfair. The media has been immensely unfair to this president. They begrudgingly will say something good and then take away credit from him. And they have turned into, they've turned people like myself, who has been critical of this president. I was critical of him in the primary process. I didn't like some of the things that Donald Trump did as a candidate. I was very critical. I don't, you know, it's not a good thing to publicly come out and endorse, because when you do, when you're wrong, it usually costs you politically. I didn't do it for political reasons, but I backed Ted Cruz for president. But then when Donald Trump won the primary, I still thought he was a far better choice, and I still believe he was a much better choice than Hillary Clinton for the presidency. And I wanted to see what he would do. He surprised me with foreign policy. I thought his foreign policy was excellent out of the gate. He had assembled a cabinet of people that even his harshest critics, like the late Senator John McCain, said was the best since the Reagan era. And so we watched what was going on and how it was so underreported or unreported by the media. So President Trump makes a trip to the Middle East. He visits Iraq and he visits troops in Germany. So how was it reacted to? So first, as I said, they reported MSNBC, CBS, other networks, very critical. The president breaking with tradition and did something no president has done before. He didn't visit the troops. How horrible is this? This is terrible that he didn't visit the troops. So NBC tweets out, President Trump becomes the first president since 2002 not to visit troops at Christmas time, with a story linked to NBC News. It says, though he called military personnel on Tuesday, Trump did not visit a hospital or a military base. NBC tweeted all this out. Later on, they had to take that back. Trump's visit was shrouded in secrecy. Air Force One flew overnight from Washington, landed an airbase west of Baghdad under the cover of darkness Wednesday evening. So then they have to give the caveat and say that he did it. But what do you do with it now? Because you can't have anything good about this president, right? You can't possibly have anything good that he's done. So MSNBC, let's start with them. Before we go to Scarborough and Morning Joe, which I know same network, but this is a panel of people on MSNBC, and this is how they reacted to the president's visit in the Middle East.
Joining me as well, Mika Ouyang, who is vice president of National Security Program for the national think tank Third Way. And I wonder what you think as you see these pictures of the president and the first lady in Iraq.
Look, I think it's important that the president goes and visits the troops, but he's doing this backwards. His decision to pull out of Syria and when the fight against ISIS is not quite finished, close, but not quite, and then going to visit the troops after that, typically what you would want is a president to go out to visit the troops, see what's going on the ground, have conversations with his generals, actually meet with the Secretary of Defense instead of slamming the door on him, and then make a decision about what the right thing is to do here. But instead, he's done this all backwards. And in fact, the way that he's done this, even if it is the right decision ultimately, the way that he's done it will cause more chaos in the region, because it's a precipitous withdrawal, not coordinated with our allies, when he's putting our allies, the Turks, in grave danger from our NATO ally in Turkey. And I think that what he's going to do here is going to wind up much more chaotic than if he had actually stopped, thought about it, and made a deliberate plan for what to do in Syria.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. There's the caveat. Even it ends up being the good decision or the right decision in the end, it's the way he did it that was wrong. So even when he's right, he's wrong. He should meet with people. So what the president did was he locked himself in a room and he said, hey, guess what I'm going to do, guys? He didn't consult with anybody, didn't talk to anybody, didn't get any advice from anybody, didn't look at any intelligence data from anybody. But now he should go and visit with the troops in Iraq, meet with generals in Iraq, and then talk about what he's going to do in Syria. And what happens is people that watch this network eat that up like, yeah, that's what you should do, as if the president didn't consult with anyone. Don't forget that Barack Obama called ISIS the JV squad. As ISIS was growing in power and taking over parts of Syria, crossing the border into Iraq, and then taking over huge portions of northern Iraq, and at one point at their height, ISIS controlled the entire border between Syria and Iraq. The entire border was under ISIS control. All of the time, our commander-in-chief did nothing. The Syrian government crossed that red line three times with no retribution from the U.S. during Barack Obama. Where was the criticism of Barack Obama? He was a big, deep thinker, and he was a thoughtful person, and he was going to do this, and he was going to do that. And this president, even when he makes the right decision, they say, well, you know, it's the way he did it. So hours before, NBC reports, first president since 02 not to visit the troops at Christmas time. Then, of course, after he does it, they have to at least acknowledge that he did. And then the networks bring on people to tell you how horrible the visit was and what a bad thing it was to do because he did it the wrong way. To the level that when he got to Germany, there were young soldiers, young men and women, that had the Make America Great Again hats, the MAGA hats. And they were asking for autographs. Now, I want you to envision how deep the seething anger and hatred for this president and anything positive about him must be. You've got young men and women who are putting themselves in harm's way, thousands of miles from their loved ones on Christmas. The president is there and they're ecstatic. They bring the MAGA hats out for the president to autograph. So what are we seeing today in the media? Well, you know, that could be a breach of military rules. They're not allowed to do anything political when they are in uniform. You know, the president could have led those men and women into breaking rules and protocol. There may be some punishments for some of those soldiers, and that's going to be the president's fault because you're not. So that's the level they are going to go to. This president is so horrible, even when he makes people happy, he does it the wrong way. It is absolutely laughable. Moments from now, Joe Scarborough, you're going to hear Morning Joe. Joe Scarborough has to go even further than that, not to be outdone, if you can believe it. You're going to hear Joe Scarborough and his take on the president's visit. That's coming up in just a moment. My name's Mike Broomhead, and this is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I really love my office chair. It's not a no-name superstore piece of junk. I'm talking about the new X-Chair office chair. It's modern, it's stylish, it's really luxurious. It is the most comfortable chair that you can sit in. It's an X chair. You'll have more energy. You'll concentrate better. You'll be more productive. Sitting in it is believing. And now X chair is introducing a new model available for a limited time only to my listeners. It's the X Basic. It's got the great comfort, support, style that you expect from an X chair at a great price that makes it really affordable for just about anybody. All X chairs are on sale now for $100 off. Go to xchairbeck.com. That's the letter xchairbeck.com. Or call 844-4XCHAIR. Check out the new X Basic. No questions asked. Guaranteed complete satisfaction for 30 days. Use the promo code Beck, 844-4XCHAIR or xchairbeck.com.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Happy New Year. It's the Glenn Beck Program. My name is Mike Broomhead, in for Glenn today, tomorrow, and Monday. I will be with you, so we appreciate part of your morning. If you are a social media user, here's how you can find me on Twitter. I am at Broomhead Show. My last name, unfortunately, is spelled just like it sounds. At Broomhead Show or Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram or the Mike Broomhead Show fan page on Facebook. I manage my own accounts. It would be great to interact with you if you want to find me there. As promised, Joe Scarborough, Morning Joe, weighs in. This is what Scarborough had to say about the president's visit.
You know, the president's trip to Iraq and Germany, they were very good and valuable uses of the president's time over the Christmas holidays. And the troops he visited there were clearly happy to see him, buoyed by his presence. And I think every American should be grateful for that. But we should also be concerned that Mr. Trump once again used a captive audience of American heroes to push his unpopular domestic agenda, this time the wall. You know, Churchill didn't attack Attlee at Yalta. Ike didn't blast Democrats when he was in Korea. And Ronald Reagan didn't try to undermine Speaker Jim Wright when he was standing at the Brandenburg Gate telling Mr. Gorbachev to tear down that wall. It's all very unbecoming and all very Bush League. And you can bet 41 and 43 would have never treated the troops so disrespectfully.
Never, would never treat them so disrespectfully. Trump was not only did he do the wrong thing, he was disrespectful to the troops. That's Scarborough's angle on all of this. Somehow the president was using this as using the troops as props to push his personal agenda. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. The media hated George W. Bush and the military loved him. There were members of the military that said to President Trump they re-enlisted or they signed up for the military because of him. It was a very heartfelt, heartwarming moment for the president as commander-in-chief commanding the military. And the fact of the matter is, to do anything to denigrate that just shows the level of who these people are. The fact is, if Donald Trump has done any of the things wrong that you say he has, then let it be. They are emotionally like a teenager. Have you ever raised teenagers? I had two girls, I have two girls. They were teenagers. Teenage girls have two emotions, love and hate. And there's no in between with teenagers, whether it's girls or boys. You say to your daughter, hey, how's your friend Jennifer? She's not my friend. I hate her. She was your best friend. Not anymore. I hate her. You never talk to a teenage girl, whether it's about food, clothes, music, or people, where they go, meh, I don't care. They love it or they hate it. There's no in between emotionally with the emotionally charged teenager. That's how they are. The American media is no different. They hate this president. There is nothing he is ever going to do that they're going to go, eh. You're never going to get a report where someone says, the president visited Iraq. He went to the Middle East in the dark of night. He snuck in and surprised the troops to wish them a Merry Christmas, and he was very well received. Then he flew from there to Germany to another military base where he was well received there as well. So keeping with the tradition that's been set since 2002, during the holidays, the American president makes a surprise visit to the troops. And move on. You don't have to call him Reagan. You don't have to call him Lincoln. You don't have to call him any of the great presidents. But you've got to destroy him. There's no way around it. It is absolutely laughable. So the Democrats love their talking points. And Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. And the question is, who plagiarized who? I'm going to read a tweet to you that was put out by Chuck Schumer at 1:37 p.m. on Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve and President @real Donald Trump is plunging the country into chaos. The stock market is tanking and the president is waging a personal war on the Federal Reserve after he just fired the Secretary of Defense. That was 1:37 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Nancy Pelosi, 23 minutes later, 2 p.m. Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve and @real Donald Trump is plunging the country into chaos. The stock market is tanking and the president is waging a personal war on the Federal Reserve after he just fired the Secretary of Defense. Word for word, the exact tweet. She hashtagged Trump shutdown. Now, this wasn't a retweet of Schumer's. This was supposed to be an original tweet. Man, the Democrats are great at messaging. When they get a word or a phrase or a punchline, they beat it to death. And this is no different. So 23 minutes before Nancy Pelosi tweets out the exact same words. Chuck Schumer. There is a seething hatred. And by the way, plunging the country into chaos. If you remember, wasn't the last shutdown under the Obama administration, wasn't that 16 days? And wasn't that because of President Obama's very unpopular domestic policies, which in this case, they're saying it's Trump and the wall. In that case, it was Obama and Obamacare. And the problem with that was nobody in the Democratic Party really wanted it. Nancy Pelosi had to twist people's arms and make backroom deals to get it through the House. If you remember, they postponed that vote a number of times. But Barack Obama was moving his agenda forward and the Congress was not cooperating. So he said this is important enough to the American people that we need to do whatever we need to do to make this happen. So he let the government shut down for 16 days. And who got blamed? The Republicans. Why? Because they fell for it. Because they listened to what the government, what the newspapers were saying and the news articles were saying and the news shows were saying. So now you have this president saying, we need a barrier. We need real border security, which is something we're going to get to here in just a couple of moments. We need real border security. And if we don't get it, the government's going to remain shut down. We haven't hit the 16-day mark yet, but the whole world's falling apart. Remember, this president's causing the world to fall apart. That didn't seem to be the case back then. In a few moments, an update. The 8-year-old Guatemalan boy who died in the custody of U.S. What's the real truth behind all of this? There have been two deaths of children in American custody. What's the truth behind them? All that coming up. It's a big part of the show. I'm Mike Broomhead. It's a Glenn Beck program. Stick around.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
If you've ever experienced heart racing, shortness of breath, or dizziness, it's possible you could have atrial fibrillation, one of the leading causes of stroke. Find out before it's too late with CardioMobile, the FDA-cleared personal EKG device that's just $99. To order, visit cardia.com. That's K-A-R-D-I-A.com. CardioMobile fits in your pocket, so you can take an EKG anytime, anywhere, right when you feel a symptom. CardioMobile delivers a medical-grade EKG right to your smartphone. In just 30 seconds, you'll know if your heart rhythm is normal or if atrial fibrillation is detected. To order CardioMobile today for just $99, visit cardia.com. That's K-A-R-D-I-A.com. Take unlimited EKGs morning, noon, or night, so you can always know how your heart is doing. CardioMobile puts peace of mind in your pocket for only $99. Order yours today. Visit cardia.com. That's K-A-R-D-I-A.com.
Join Blaze TV. Get, what is it, 30 shows? Use Beck Christmas for $20 off for the year. It's, you can get it for less than $5 a month. BlazeTV.com.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from the Glenn Beck Program. I'm Mike Broomhead. I'm in for Glenn the next few days. Hope you are having a great maybe time off with your family if you're working. Thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate it. As we're talking about some of the unreported or underreported, misreported issues that are happening, and I don't believe that it's an accident. And the story of unaccompanied minors and somehow this being Trump's problem and Trump doing this wrong and Trump doing that's this is not what how this happened. We were there years ago in McAllen, Texas. We were begging the media to do something about it. When I say we, I mean myself. Glenn was there. Glenn Beck was there. Dr. Alveda King was there. Ted Cruz was there. Dana Lesh was there. There was a crew of us that were there, and a humanitarian, non-political. This had nothing to do with right versus left. It had everything to do with right versus wrong. And it was about young children being used as pawns in a political game, the drug cartels enriching themselves at the expense of families and their dreams of America, and people doing it the wrong way, coming across the border illegally, finding ICE agents, turning themselves in, seeking political asylum, and young children being put through a process by themselves, sent by their parents, by themselves. We continue to hear about the president of the United States separating families. Family separation happened because of the policies going way back. And if you want to talk about separated families, let's talk about separated families. How many of you know a legal immigrant to America? A first-generation legal immigrant to America. I have had the great privilege of knowing many, and I've had the great privilege of meeting many. I was in Vegas, and I was leaving town and jumped in a cab to the airport, and I met a guy who was from Africa, and I believe he was I believe he was Somali. And in order to come to America on a visa, he had to leave his country and go to a neighboring country. He left behind his wife and a baby, child, his son. He lived homeless on the streets until his visa came through, and then he came to America, and then he was given a visa and then a green card and on a path to citizenship. And I'm telling the story very quickly. And it had been a total of almost 15 years since he had seen his son, and his son was at this time around 16 or 17 years old, when he was finally able to bring his wife and his son to the United States and have his family back together. His wife and him own a home. He supports himself by driving a cab. They own a home. They have a daughter now. And all he kept saying with a big smile on his face and tears in his eyes was, "God bless America. God bless America." He was laughing at American politics, and I was talking with him about how vitriolic it gets, and he said, "You know, you guys fight when you guys get angry. We shoot each other in my country. You die, you kill political opponents in my country." And basically talking about how great we have it in America and the American dream, becoming an American citizen, and repeating over and over and over again, "God bless America." He was separated from his family for almost 15 years while he took the necessary steps to legally become an American. And that's just one anecdotal piece of evidence of separated families doing it the right way. So the narrative from the left about separated families and what horrible people we are as a country when people are coming to this country illegally, when there are families sending their children across the border without them, where there are parents in Mexico or Central America that are renting their children out to people to pose as families. On one side of the aisle, they would say, "Look at the plight of these poor people," where others would say, "How dare you as a parent?" When the migrant caravan was at Tijuana, and they were at the fence, and 500 people tried to storm into the U.S., and they were repelled by tear gas. Those pictures of a woman hauling her children away from the fence, dodging the tear gas, and said, "Look how evil the American Border Patrol is using tear gas against women and children." There are two things that weren't noted and should have been. First of all, those brave young men that were in that caravan pushed the women and children in the front to the front, trying to use them as a buffer and hoping that the Border Patrol wouldn't use less than lethal force if the women and children were pushed to the front. That's the story from the people in the caravan that you're not hearing, but other nations' media is telling their country. The second thing is, for any of you out there that are a parent, would you put your child in that situation? I want you to think if you would put your child in that situation. If that happened in America, if you leave a child in a hot car for 3 minutes, they'll break your windows and they will haul you to jail and take your children away, as they should. There are parents now dragging their children thousands of miles on a caravan and then jumping to the front while the Border Patrol shoots tear gas. What kind of parents are these? The left will tell you how desperate they are. Well, the desperation is a political stunt, because there are places where they could go and seek asylum. And if they are in line and deserving of asylum, it will be given to them. This is a political stunt. There have been two children that have died in U.S. custody in recent weeks, the latest of which was an 8-year-old boy from Guatemala. And once again, the Democrats want to investigate the handling of how America, and I agree, we should never put children, I don't care where they're from, we should not be putting children in harm's way. Children should not be preyed upon by anyone of any nation at any time. And if we have facilities where child predators are employed and not vetted, those people should face the full force of the American law. This 8-year-old boy that died in custody, we now know the father refused medical treatment for his son. It's a horrible tragedy to lose an 8-year-old. The kid was sick. He had flu-like symptoms. The father refused medical treatment. And then the boy became so ill he had to be hospitalized and died before they could resuscitate him. It is a tragic story. But when you read these in the media, you would believe that this president has an absolute disregard. At the very least, he has a disregard for these children. And at the very worst, he's using them and punishing them so that people will stop coming. He is going to treat these children so horribly that they die so that others won't come. That's how racist and how much he hates these people. And it's an unfair narrative. I have some disagreements at times with the president of the United States and the way he does things. I saw this treatment with my own eyes during the Obama administration. I had pictures on my phone. I still have the pictures on my phone. It haunts me. Because as Americans, we do not, once we get fed up with something, then we move to action. When are we going to be fed up? They're arguing about the need for border security. The thousands of people that come here illegally every day, the thousands of people pouring across our border in places that are not the normal border crossings, the drugs that are coming across our border, the crime that crosses our border, the dangers at the southern border of the United States, all of the evidence that's there, there's not one political figure with an honest face that can tell you that our borders are secure and the way we're doing things is working right now. The system is broken. There is no border protection, and people are suffering. There are Americans suffering on our side of the border. There was a rancher that was known to help people. Ranchers in southern Arizona on the border, you know, the old story showed you ranchers that would ride their land on horseback, and now they ride their land on ATVs, but they're always armed with an AR-15 or some other form of rifle because they come in contact with the cartels and human traffickers bringing people across their land all the time. They carry food, they carry water, they carry medical supplies because many times they are the first responders on the scene to save someone's life before calling the federal authorities and having people taken into custody. And there was a rancher that came upon somebody that he thought was injured or wounded. And when he dismounted from his ATV, thinking he was going to try to render aid to someone, that person turned over and shot and killed him. These are the real stories of human suffering because of a system that we are allowing to happen, and the media is complicit in covering up. It's sad, it's unfair, it's not the right thing to do, and it all has to do with 2020 and winning an election. As sad as that is, this is about winning an election. Some more on this before we get out of this hour, and coming up in the next hour, we'll talk about the huge surge in the stock market, the good things in the economy, and what our friends on the left are going to try to do in the next session of Congress. It seems to be an ongoing theme, doesn't it? Well, all of that's coming up right around the corner. Remind you once again, my name is Mike Broomhead. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and this is the Glenn Beck Program. Hey, thanks again for being here. I'm Mike Broomhead. This is the Glenn Beck Program. We're here until for a few more hours. And to be honest with you, this talk of the wall and what bothers me about this, the investigation into people that are in U.S. custody. I am unapologetically pro-law enforcement for a number of reasons. And law enforcement agents in this country are people. They are normal individuals. They have lives. They have families. I am very blessed to come from a law enforcement family. My youngest brother is a lieutenant with the sheriff's office in Lee County, Florida, and he's my hero. He is absolutely, without a doubt, the best man I've ever known. Great father, great husband, great cop. He got into it for the right reasons. He became a police officer because he grew up in a safe town. He wanted to keep it safe for other people. There's politics involved. It's a tough job. It's a relentless job at times, but he does a noble job. Graduated cum laude from college. He could have gone on to make a lot more money doing other things. My sister-in-law, Jamie, she is a police officer as well. She's also a deputy sheriff. And just a great mom, loves her family, loves people, just a good-hearted person. They work their butts off keeping people safe. And for people to denigrate the career of law enforcement, to either say that these are power-hungry people, or in this case, whether it's when it comes to protecting children that are in ICE custody, these are law enforcement agents in many cases. These are people that have families of their own, and they're willing to step in front of a bad person or a horrible situation to risk their lives and their children losing a parent so that you can be safe and so that your kids don't lose a parent or you don't lose a child. So to accuse them, because this man, Donald Trump, is president, to accuse them of turning their backs on the morality that they got into law enforcement for, that they would just neglect children and allow them to die in custody, because obviously if Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about anybody in the world, then no one that works for him in law enforcement does either, is a slap in the face to the character of the people that do a thankless job for no money and most of the time criticism. That in the end, I don't have to defend Donald Trump because Donald Trump doesn't care what the media thinks. Donald Trump is a billionaire and he's the president of the United States. The media is at the disadvantage when it comes to Donald Trump. My problem is, and my issue that I have with the traditional media in America, is the fallout that happens with anybody associated with him. So ICE was noble and doing the right thing with these children, and the only thing they could when Barack Obama was president, and the exact same thing was happening with these children. But now, because it's Donald Trump, they've all turned into these horrible beasts that could care less about the people in custody. It is laughable. People that get into the first responder business, when they become, whether it's a firefighter, an EMT, but especially law enforcement, it's a thankless job. You are dealing with the dregs of humanity most of the time. They are dealing with the 10% of society, usually in a revolving door situation, with people that know the system well enough to game it often, that they prey upon innocent people like you and like me. And when you call for them, they show up. And they show up to situations, in many situations, with people with cell phones videotaping them to be critical of them and put them up on social media. So in a situation like this, where the ICE is put in an absolutely no-win situation, the system is absolutely overrun. They are bound by laws and a time limit in which they must process people. And so, you know, they put out 1,000 people over Christmas in El Paso. There's going to be 1,000 people on the streets of El Paso, Texas. Why? Because of the legal mandate of how they must process people, due process, give them their hearing date, which is usually 2 years down the road, some kind of a monitoring device, and turn them loose on the streets of America. Do you think they want to do that? They have no choice. When someone's in their custody, people are being herded through there like cattle because there's thousands of people with no end in sight. And there's nobody in the United States Congress doing anything about it. We continue to blame Donald Trump for it. He doesn't write the legislation. Then we're critical of the people that are charged with trying to handle this system. Some good news. Next hour, talk about the surge in the U.S. stocks. Biggest surge ever in the U.S. stocks. What does this mean for the U.S. economy? Low gas prices and all of that. I'm Mike Broomhead. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Stick around.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Isn't it funny how the economy is always the front of the line with the media when things are going south with the stock market? As soon as we have a rebound, the biggest one-day rebound in the history of the Dow, and now they're all of a sudden silent about it. Let's talk truth about the U.S. economy, the direction of the stock market, gas prices, what it means to the normal person, what you and I who vote for their wallet really believe. Let's do that right now. My name is Mike Broomhead, and this is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
If you've ever experienced heart racing, shortness of breath, or dizziness, it's possible you could have atrial fibrillation, one of the leading causes of stroke. Find out before it's too late with CardioMobile, the FDA-cleared personal EKG device that's just $99. To order, visit cardia.com. That's K-A-R-D-I-A.com. CardioMobile fits in your pocket, so you can take an EKG anytime, anywhere, right when you feel a symptom. CardioMobile delivers a medical-grade EKG right to your smartphone. In just 30 seconds, you'll know if your heart rhythm is normal or if atrial fibrillation is detected. To order CardioMobile today for just $99, visit cardia.com. That's K-A-R-D-I-A.com. Take unlimited EKGs morning, noon, or night, so you can always know how your heart is doing. CardioMobile puts peace of mind in your pocket for only $99. Order yours today. Visit cardia.com. That's K-A-R-D-I-A.com.
Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Broomhead. We are in for Glenn Beck. I'll be in for the next few days and until Monday for Glenn. So we appreciate you ringing in the new year with the Glenn Beck program. Again, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and everything for me has got to be loaded with common sense. I'm a very simple person. I've been a working guy my whole life. I'm in radio by luck only. I love it more than anything I've ever done before. The communication with people. But the more I do this, the longer I'm in this business, the more perplexed I become at what we've been fooled into thinking. You know, when you play sports, and I'll make this recommendation. I think I've done this before on the show. If you have children or grandchildren, do your best to get them into some kind of extracurricular activity. I recommend sports because I think competition matters. I think the winning and losing, winning with dignity and winning with grace and losing with dignity really matters. Getting kicked in the stomach by a loss when you're in little league football, baseball, soccer, lacrosse, doesn't matter. Winning and losing in those situations doesn't matter in the grand scheme of life. At the time, it's devastating when you lose and it's euphoric when you win. Learning to win in a graceful way to your competition, learning to lose with dignity and make sure that you shake the other team's hand and learn from those mistakes matters in life. And it matters when you get older. But the rules seem to change daily, and it depends on who you listen to. When you are doing what you believe is the right thing, when you are where God wants you to be, this isn't going to become a sermon, I promise. But when you're doing what you know is what you are meant to do, the naysayers don't matter. The people that speak out against you don't matter. I'm not for everyone. My style's not for everyone. I can't please everyone. There are plenty of people that may agree with me in principle but don't like my delivery or style. I can appreciate that. I can get along with people that disagree with me. We continue to listen to people and change our behavior based on what a group of people who are never going to be pleased with you want you to be. It's shocking to me. The stock market has been tanking. And we all saw what was happening. And all of the people on the left that dislike Donald Trump and dislike, you know, what we stand for as conservatives when it comes to the economy, fiscally conservative people when it comes to our government, they're talking, here it is, there's your Trump economy. Well, it was the Obama economy a few weeks ago. This is the great transition of all of this. They deny the movement of our U.S. economy. And then when they can no longer deny the statistics, when the unemployment numbers are so drastically low, when you see the highest level of consumer confidence is among the working class in America, they couldn't deny it any longer. The problem with the Democratic Party is they claim to be the party of the working people. At the same time, they're the intellectually elite. There is such a schizophrenic party, and yet it's always pointed out about the Republicans. There was truth in what they said about the Republicans. I was at the convention in Tampa when Mitt Romney was nominated. I saw the Ron Paul supporter libertarian faction there that was very upset that they were kind of kept out of things. But I was also there when they had the meeting and they came together, and the Ron Paul supporters that were very angry came in and said, we are going to sit down and we are going to do our part and we're going to support Mitt Romney. I saw them come together. Now, obviously, Romney didn't win that election, but I watched the mending of the fences for a common goal. You have schizophrenia in the Democratic Party. You've got the intellectually elite. So they see someone like me and they hear me speak and they automatically start to speak a little slower and use smaller words because, you know, a dumb person like me, just that dumb working class guy, we don't get it. So they have to protect us from ourselves. Michelle Obama had to tell your children what to eat in school because you were just going to create stupid little fat kids because you were going to let your kids just eat themselves to death. Augustus Gloop, you were going to have all those kids that were falling in the vat of chocolate on the Willy Wonka movie because you were too stupid as parents to correct your children. We have to make sure that we take all of the little toys out of Happy Meals because you're so stupid, you're going to give your kids a heart attack at six. So if we take the toys out of the Happy Meal, you'll be forced to feed your kids healthier food. Remember, it takes a village to raise a child. So there's that faction of the Democratic Party that has to save America from itself. This is the Nancy Pelosi billionaire that talks down to poor people. We're going to take care of you. That you have to vote for what's in Obamacare to find out what's in it crowd. Then there's the other faction of the party that is that. That's the working class. No one cares about us. We have to have the Democrats in power to make sure that we don't get stepped on by everybody else. It's schizophrenia in that party. There's no doubt about it. The chairman of the Democratic Party, Tom Perez, said that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the future of the Democratic Party. The future of the party. She is a self-affirmed socialist. But isn't it funny, for the person who didn't know how she was going to get an apartment and couldn't believe she wasn't getting a paycheck for a few months until she started her job in Congress, is the future of their party. Also, the self-affirmed socialist at one time, when she was a young business owner, advocated for a tax cut for businesses because she said it was really difficult when you first start a business to make any money, and then to have to pay taxes on top of it was very difficult. You look at the U.S. economy, and they can't deny the movement forward for the working class. Pay raises, paying less in taxes, doubling of the standard deduction. Gas prices are low, which obviously this president doesn't control, but it is an advantage right now. It's the reason why we have record travel at the holidays. So when they couldn't any longer deny the movement in the economy, they shifted. And what did they say? You heard Obama say it. I started that. He said his words were, "Thanks, Obama." He said that sarcastically in a speech about the movement of the American economy and where we are now. Barack Obama said, "Thanks, Obama," and the crowd laughed. You've heard pundits in the last couple of weeks extol the virtues of the results of the Obama economy right now. Then there's a correction in the stock market. The stock market begins to fall hundreds of points every day. It doesn't matter that there's a Brexit. It doesn't matter about the adjustments. It doesn't matter that tech stocks are taking a hit because they were overvalued. None of that matters. Now, all of a sudden, this is Trump's fault. This is the result of tariffs, and this is Trump's fault. Now, once again, when it's bad, it's Trump's economy. I'm not talking about Slappy62 on Twitter. I'm not talking about some anonymous blogger somewhere. I'm talking about the names you recognize in network cable news. They change positions so fast, I don't know how they don't get whiplash. So once again, this is Trump's economy. So anything good that's happened since this president was in office, they wouldn't acknowledge. When they couldn't deny it anymore, they gave Obama credit for it. I'm not talking about, again, not the liberal bloggers, the network people that are supposed to have some ounce of credibility. Now, you have a 1,000-point recovery in one day. The biggest one-day recovery in the history of the U.S. stock market. And where are they? Nowhere. Why? It doesn't fit the narrative of death and destruction. not done with this topic by any stretch of the imagination. It's an important thing to look realistically at what's happening. How much does this president actually control, or this the Congress control, of where the U.S. economy comes and goes? But where should you be on all of this? Where do we, what do we think, and what do we allow other people to force us to think and do? Couple of examples of that coming up here in just a few moments, so we can talk about this. Stick around for the next couple of minutes. We've got some examples of the U.S. economy and how your words sometimes are chosen for you. And I'm going to explain how that happens even to me. All that right around the corner. I'm Mike Broomhead. Once again, this is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Tis the season for more. More shopping online, more booking travel, more using websites to find the perfect gift. And all of that activity is happening on your device. Sometimes sketchy websites that you don't think are sketchy. Using your phone or your tablet could expose more of your personal information. And if that exposed information ends up in the hands of cybercriminals, you could have a bigger problem than an online store running out of the gift that you promised your oldest. So here's the thing. LifeLock with Norton Security now helps keep your holidays happy. LifeLock helps the threats to your identity, like somebody opening an account in your name. And Norton Security protects your devices against the cyber threats like malware. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or cyber crimes or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But if you have LifeLock with Norton Security, you have comprehensive protection for your identity and your devices. Head to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use the promo code BECK for an extra 15% off your first year. That's promo code BECK, an extra 15% off now at LifeLock.com.
Thanks again for being here. My name is Mike Broomhead. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm in Florida on vacation with family, but I am on the Glenn Beck Program for the next few days. I appreciate always spending time here with this audience. Social media users on Twitter, you can find me at Broomhead Show. I want to appreciate the people that have been following me over the last couple of days. I do manage my own accounts. It's a great way to stay in touch. If you're on Instagram, you can follow me, Mike Broomhead, all one word, no dots, no dashes. And then the Mike Broomhead Show fan page on Facebook. Talking about the economy and where we're going, and a lot of times what we think and why we think it. We have to be critical where it's necessary, and we should be. The Republicans have held on to the Congress. They have not put the same kind of pressure on the Democrats that they should. For whatever reason, their words are chosen for them, and I don't know why they pay attention to those things. Depending on what part of the country you're in, and I use sports as analogies a lot, depending on what part of the country you're in, there are big rivalries. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, you don't care what the Pittsburgh Steelers think. If you're a Green Bay Packers fan, you don't care what the Bears or the Vikings fans think. You are focused on your team. We choose a team. We're critical when that team doesn't do well. We expect changes to be made within that team to make them better, whether it's changing players or changing coaches or both. Sometimes it's the GM that goes. Whatever it is, we have an expectation of excellence, but we never stop being a fan. We're critical when it's necessary most of the time. We all know those fans, and in local radio, if you listen to local radio when it comes to sports and when the games are on, we all know those people that are just homers, and they are never critical. They believe their team in the NFL is going to go 16-0, and you just laugh at them, and you think there's nothing realistic about what you're saying. Well, within American politics, we should be the same way. We should be critical of our own. We should be saying to the Republicans that when this statistic, which is interesting to me, the federal debt is up $1.37 trillion from last year, from last Christmas. We are running over $1 trillion in deficits still. The Republicans control the Congress. I know the 60 votes. I know what we're talking about when it comes to, but why aren't we exposing? Why aren't we standing up and saying, well, you know, Rand Paul talks about government waste. Where is somebody on the floor of the Senate saying to the Democrats, you're holding a tax cut for the American people hostage because you want us to spend more money on programs that are less necessary right now? You want more money in entitlement programs when every statistic in the world says that the need for entitlement programs is decreasing. Unemployment numbers are down. Food assistant numbers are down. We should be able to take some of that money and do it somewhere else. We should have spending cuts. We should be getting rid of redundancy. Before we talk about anything else, we should start with redundancy and the problems in our government. And instead of doing that, they sit silently and allow the other side to control the narrative and control the words we say and what we think. I spent my entire childhood poor. And I didn't, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know what poor is. It is, you are what you are. It's just, you're normal. I didn't realize how much my mother struggled until I got to be an adult and tried to take care of myself. Never mind being a single mother raising three children. I don't know how she did it. It was a miracle that she was able to rob Peter to pay Paul my entire childhood. She never took a dime of public assistance, although she would have qualified. She just worked. I thank God that I got my work ethic from my mother. I've always worked for wealthy people, what I thought were wealthy people. They probably didn't think they were, but in my mind, they were wealthy. Everyone wants to work for a wealthy company. You want your paycheck to clear on Friday. You don't want to be one of those people that runs to the bank and finds out you got there too late. All the money's gone for paychecks. We want to work for a wealthy company. And then in this country, we demonize wealth. We used to hold self-made millionaires or self-made successful people up and say, if you work hard, you can achieve that. You can do that in America. And now we demonize success. Wealth is generally a byproduct of success. When you are good at something, wealth usually follows. And if you look at the people that are immensely successful, usually wealth wasn't what they were chasing. What they were chasing was success and excellence. Why don't we reward that anymore? I learned a trade my entire life. At 18 years old, I started as a helper for an electrical contracting company in Southwest Florida. It was a private, literally mom and pop shop called West Electric. And I went to work for them at a young age. And in the span of time, I went to work for a company where I became a manager of a company, where I learned how to bid jobs and bill jobs and work with customers and collect money, all of the business side of that trade. I worked for one of the wisest businessmen I ever worked for in Southwest Florida. And I learned a trade. I'll tell you, one of the fun things I've done on this trip was I met the UPS driver on my brother's route at my brother's house on Christmas Eve. A guy named Corey. Guy's working on Christmas Eve. And I mean, later in the evening, this was probably 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. Big smile on his face. And I'm like, man, I only got about an hour left. I said, sucks, you got to work on Christmas Eve. I only got about an hour left. Big smile on his face. Nice guy. Just works hard. And those are the people that are successful. It's not about immense wealth. It's not about driving a huge car. It's about being good at your job, being respected by your peers, having your boss respect what you do, knowing your boss, knowing that I can turn you loose on your job, whatever that job is, that you're going to get the job done, and I'm not going to have to worry that you're trying to get over on me. We used to say successful people were good. Now we punish it. Now, as soon as you cross the line, I should be the hero to the Democratic Party. Raised in a working class household, all I ever did was work my entire life. Now I've achieved a little bit of success. You would think they would say that right there is the product of success in America. Instead, because I am of a conservative mindset and I disagree with them politically, all of a sudden, not only am I dumb, but I'm evil. We used to take successful people and say, aspire to that. So we have a president now that's been immensely successful with wealth, and they demonize him. You compare that to our former president, who went to Arizona State University early in his presidency and told the graduating class to not go achieve or try to achieve the corner office. Don't aspire to the corner office. Go to work for a nonprofit. And I laughed and I thought, Mr. President, how dumb is that? Who do you think finances those nonprofits? Who donates the money to keep those nonprofits afloat? It's the people that sit in the corner office. Stop demonizing success. Stop demonizing success. Coming up in just a few moments, we talk more about the U.S. economy, Trump's visit to the Middle East, and we talk about the Border Patrol and ICE. All that coming up. I'm Mike Broomhead. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Stick around.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I really love my office chair. It's not a no-name superstore piece of junk. I'm talking about the new X Chair office chair. It's modern, it's stylish, it's really luxurious. It is the most comfortable chair that you can sit in. It's an X chair. You'll have more energy. You'll concentrate better. You'll be more productive. Sitting in it is believing. And now X Chair is introducing a new model available for a limited time only to my listeners. It's the X Basic. It's got the great comfort, support, style that you expect from an X chair at a great price that makes it really affordable for just about anybody. All X chairs are on sale now for $100 off. Go to xchairbeck.com. That's the letter xchairbeck.com. Or call 844-4XCHAIR. Check out the new X Basic. No questions asked, guaranteed complete satisfaction for 30 days. Use the promo code Beck, 844-4XCHAIR or xchairbeck.com. Want more Glenn? I mean, who doesn't? Beside my wife. Stream live or download later at glennbeck.com.
Thanks again for being here. We're talking about the American economy with the plans moving forward. There is an ideological difference, and that's really where we should be talking. Instead, we are talking about good versus evil. I can disagree with somebody and not call them evil. I disagree with people that I care deeply about. You know that, as I've mentioned to people on the show before, that I'm grateful to Glenn, not because I fill in for him on his show, because he's been a mentor and a friend. He has gone out of his way to be a friend to me. But we disagree on things. Some of the best conversations we've ever had have been about disagreements because it comes from a place of respect. One of my closest friends growing up in Southwest Florida is with a guy that it's hard for me to believe that we grew up breathing the same air. We are so different politically. He is crazy left. But I love him like a brother. When my brother was killed, he was one of the first people that got in touch with me. He drove across the state to be there for the memorial service. This is a good man. He's a family man. He's got kids. We just disagree politically on many things. But there doesn't come a time of year during Hanukkah that I don't wish him a happy Hanukkah, that he doesn't wish me a Merry Christmas. We talk happy birthdays and families and things like that. Getting past the personal hatred we have in people is important to get to these differences. The difference, again, I'll use my last sports analogy before I tell you the story about what's coming in the next Congress. The difference is if you're a fan of a team, and as people have been pointing out because of the pictures I've been posting online over the last few days, I am a Miami Hurricane fan, have been my entire life. I live in Arizona for almost 24 years. I've become a homer for every Arizona team, with the exception that I will always be a Miami Hurricane. Don't hold it against me. From wherever you are, it's my thing. And you go to a football game, and there tonight, the Miami Hurricanes have a rematch in a bowl game against Wisconsin. And there's the difference between being immensely disappointed last year when we lost the bowl game against Wisconsin and someone that would take their 70-inch TV and throw it out the window when their team loses. That's the difference in American politics. The cameras and the microphones are usually focused on those that would throw their television out the window, as opposed to the people that can disagree and stand by their point of view. I believe on the issues themselves, we win 9 times out of 10. The Democrats now are going after the idea of Medicare for all. They believe it's a long-term plan. they're not going to get it done this year. They're probably not going to get it done before the 2020 elections. They may not get it done immediately after. But just like the implementation of Obamacare, they have a long-term plan. They want to control the narrative, and the narrative is going to be single-payer health care is the direction that the country needs to go so that everyone in the country has health insurance. They will then try to drag someone like us into that conversation where we are now talking about single-payer health care. Why? The narrative. They're going to control the narrative on this. They're going to tell us that's what needs to be done. So, Senator Brian Schatz from Hawaii, everybody understands we're not going to get Medicare for all enacted in January, but it's a marker about where we stand to land, which is to say we want everybody to have health care. This is about moving the so-called Overton window. You understand this is the direction they want to take us. Obamacare was an abysmal failure. The media can run as much cover as they want on it. The statistics show it's an abysmal failure. And it's a failure because the very people that said they wanted it didn't get what was promised. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. Neither was true. The mandate for every adult man, woman, and child was that you would have health care or pay a fine. People paid the fines because they couldn't afford the health care. Even when they paid the premiums, it didn't work because the deductibles were so high. In the state that I came from, Arizona, the average family in the healthcare exchanges paid more every month for their health insurance than they paid for their mortgage in every county in the state of Arizona. That's what Obamacare gave us. It was an abysmal failure. You look at the structure of Medicaid right now and Medicare, and it takes up such a huge part of our budget, it's bankrupting America. Over the next few years, if you talk to the people, we are not having babies at the rate we used to. We are going to have two working people for every retiree in the near future, which means we can't afford to pay into the system anymore and keep it afloat. And yet they want to add every other American onto a system that's broken. Talk to Canadians about what they do when they need health care. They come to America and pay cash for it. They don't wait in those long lines. You want to know what socialized medicine looks like? Look at the model for the VA. And before I'm very critical of what's going on at the VA, I'll say this. I know and I've met many good, hardworking people within the VA that do that work for veterans as a calling. They love what they do. They provide excellent care. It's an overwhelmed system wrapped in red tape with a bureaucracy that has a stranglehold on it. That's why there haven't been repairs to the VA. But that's what government-implemented healthcare is like. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talks about the private sector and death squads. What do you think is going to happen when the government runs it? Because when it begins to run out of money, what are they going to do? Social Security, they raise the retirement age. What do you think they're going to do about what's approved care and what's not approved? Do you want government officials and a government body having the final say on who provides healthcare to you? The wealthy in America will still be able to go out and pay cash for excellent health care. They're always going to be able to do that. How does socialized medicine or single-payer health care help anyone in this country? It doesn't. You can't make a direct connection between auto insurance and health insurance, but there's enough of a connection there with what's been done to show you the path to lower costs. Why is it that companies and health insurance companies don't advertise and fight for your business? Because they can't. But you've got the major insurance carriers spending tens and probably hundreds of millions of dollars a year in advertising with really clever ads. Whether it's, you know, a lizard or some character or it's cavemen. They're doing it to fight for your business. the high risk in healthcare are people with pre-existing conditions. In automobile insurance, it's people with accidents, tickets, DUIs. There is shared risk among all the automobile insurance companies. You can buy an insurance policy if you have an old junky car that you have the basic amount of coverage, which covers injury if you cause someone injury and damage to someone else's vehicle. We called it PIP, personal injury protection, and liability. Or if you're like me that has a newer vehicle, you can up all of your minimums. You can up the level of coverage that you have, full glass, towing, and everything else. So if anything happens, you're covered. You can do that too. And it's all available to you. And there are multiple carriers that are out there fighting for your business. And we can do something similar if they would deregulate. We've seen in every other aspect that when you take government out of something, it performs better. The philosophical difference between the Democrats and what should be the Republicans is that we believe less government is better. Let the private sector fix it. If you turn the private sector loose and say to them, you go fight for the American healthcare dollar, you're going to get a much lower price and much better service. Why do you think they deregulated the phone companies? They took away the monopoly so they had to fight for your business and so that you could talk about customer service and go somewhere else when you didn't get good customer service. And that's like that in any industry. You go to a restaurant, if they don't give you good service and good food, you won't go to that restaurant anymore, and eventually it closes down because nobody goes. This is something we all can be fighting for. And you are going to hear the mantra begin in January about single-payer health care. They don't believe it's going to be done this year, but they aren't going to back off. Who are the opponents that are giving the reasonable response and a reasonable option of something different? That's where the real question lies. Are we going to be, again, the narrative and dragged by the nose into what's going to be the best form of single-payer healthcare and how involved is the government going to be? Or are we going to have people fighting for an option that actually works for people? Because Obamacare did not. I'm going to talk about the president visiting the troops coming up in the next hour of the show, but more on the U.S. economy, the rebound of the stock market, but really, where are you and what's next for the average American? All that coming up in a moment. My name is Mike Broomhead, and this is the Glenn Beck Program. As I mentioned, we'll talk about the president's visit to the troops in Iraq and Germany coming up in just a few moments. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about, I was talking about gun control and what they were, the idea that the credit card companies, a New York Times article said credit card companies are complicit in mass shootings to a certain degree because mass shooters use credit cards to buy guns and they should be tracking those gun purchases, which was shocking to me. But I mentioned the fact that the gun control advocates don't see guns as anything but evil. Then I saw this story, which reminded me of the other side of this out of the state of Washington. And two men, 22 and 23 years old, were going to steal tools and pawn them for money. They showed up at a store called the Coastal Farm and Ranch Store in Marysville, Washington, on Saturday afternoon. They took four nail guns, each worth over $400. They walked out of the store and got into a Honda Civic. What they didn't expect was to be surrounded by six customers with guns, one customer standing in front of the car yelling at the alleged thieves to get out. And one guy said he won't shoot, run him over. The driver pulled forward, causing the man confronting him to land on the hood. Another customer shot at the driver's side front tire. A third fired twice at the rear tires. Someone shot at the car more than one time and as it left the parking lot. An employee saw the car leaving, drove after the three over the suspects. They ended up getting pulled over and arrested. The two guys were booked into the Snohomish County Jail under investigation for first-degree theft. A police commander said it's unclear if the other people involved fired their guns lawfully. Now, that is a joke and a half. I live in a state where the gun laws are the most relaxed in the entire country, and I feel much safer on the streets, any street, in any town in what we call the Valley in Arizona, whether it's Phoenix, Scottsdale, Glendale, Chandler, all the cities around the Valley, I feel a lot safer. An armed society is a polite society. in our state, in the state of Arizona, if you legally own a handgun, you can conceal it without a permit. Now, I maintain a concealed carry permit, and I have for more than a decade. And I want to have the reciprocity with other states. I want to be able to show some proficiency. But in Arizona, if you legally own it, you can put it in your pocket, put it in your waistband. Now, you can't drink, all those rules still apply. But if the criminals can conceal it, why can't the law-abiding citizens? That was the way the Arizona legislature saw it. There's no blood in the streets. There's nobody there committing, you know, it's not like Tombstone in the streets of Arizona. Reasonable people do reasonable things in every situation. No one's looking to be a hero. No one's looking for a shootout. But you had law-abiding citizens thwart a robbery. People will think twice. In Arizona, we have less of those crimes because you assume people in Arizona are armed. What it turns into is a fair fight. And we all know the bullies and the cowards that are thieves and robbers don't want a fair fight. They are looking to take advantage of somebody. When someone else has the upper hand, they largely stay away. It's why people go after the weaker among us. That's why they're called predators. They're not looking for a fair fight. I don't encourage vigilantism any more than anyone else. Call the police. But when you're in a situation to stop something like this, you do it. I had an altercation years ago with my daughter at a convenience store, and I stopped two guys from shoplifting. And I ended up in a fight in the parking lot with two guys until the police showed up about 5 minutes later. I never felt in fear for my life. I never once thought about going to my truck and grabbing a firearm. And I was armed. I had a firearm in my truck. I always did. I'm not looking to shoot someone, and neither are the gun owners that I know. I'm a member of the NRA because the NRA is a lobbying organization that protects and speaks for people like me. Law-abiding citizens that understand a gun is a tool like any other tool in a toolbox. When it's used properly, it's a lifesaver. Don't attack the legal gun owners because people abuse owning weapons. Talk in the next hour about the president's visit to the troops. And at some point, going to give you a recap of something that happened in the elections that I believe the Democrats are going to use as a tool in the next election cycle moving forward. It's all about the narrative. I told you that, how the Democrats changed the narrative in one election and they won. And I believe it's going to be the game plan moving forward. All of that coming up in the final hour of the show. Once again, my name is Mike Broomhead from Phoenix, Arizona. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, President Trump makes a surprise visit to the troops in Iraq and in Germany hours after NBC and other networks report that he broke tradition and didn't visit. So how do they actually recover from the gaffe? Well, they tell him it's the wrong visit at the wrong time for the wrong reasons, and he used them, and you're going to hear it all. The reasons they criticize the president is new and improved. My name is Mike Broomhead, and this is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
If you experience pain on a daily basis, I know exactly how you feel. It can be debilitating. It can control your life. The aches are easy to understand. When it really hurts to do the basic chores, emotionally, the effects of pain can be just as dramatic. I have spoken to so many people in this audience that have started to take Relief Factor. The change emotionally is as dramatic as the physical relief, maybe even more. As you might know, Tanya and I started taking Relief Factor several months ago. After about 10 days, subtle changes started to become significant, and I've been able to stop taking all prescription pain medications, all pain medications entirely, and stop the terrible side effects of those awful drugs. Many on my team here at The Blaze are faithful takers of the 100% drug-free Relief Factor, and we have had great success in taking our lives back. Try it. Get a 3-week quick start package for only $19.95. Take it as directed. That's less than a dollar per day, and if it works on you like it has with me, you're going to get your life back. ReliefFactor.com.
Well, Welcome again. Happy New Year. It's the Glenn Beck Program. I'm Mike Broomhead in for Glenn for the next few days. I'll mention again, social media users, thanks for the outreach. Twitter, at Broomhead Show, the Mike Broomhead Show fan page on Facebook, and all one word, Mike Broomhead on Instagram, if you want to follow along with the blurriest pictures on social media. I'm the king of the blurry pictures, but follow me there. We'd love to interact. I always maintain my account, so it'd be a fun way to interact with you. I appreciate the support. It's been a lot of fun last few days. I'm in until Monday for Glenn. The president makes a visit, and I know that jumping in here, it's hard for any of you, the people that are listening in Arizona, understand it's a narrative I've been following for months and months, which is the media and the holding them accountable. There should be accountability for everyone, and we are not seeing at all any kind of fairness from the traditional media. What have been in the past looked at as reputable journalists have turned into these emotionally distraught people that just have a seething hatred. I have a lot of fun watching the Beavis and Butthead of cable news, Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. I think Joe Scarborough is a smart guy, but the seething anger and hatred he has towards the president is laughable. In a few minutes, I'll let you hear just the level it's gone to. I mentioned earlier, it's worth repeating, I guess. Watch the media and look at them as 12 to 14-year-old kids. I want to say girls. I don't mean to be sexist, but the emotions of a teenager are extreme. It's love and hate. There isn't, rarely do you see in between when it comes to things where a teenager just goes, nah, I don't care. They love it or they hate it. Clothes, music, people. Love them or hate them. That's it. Especially the girls, nothing in between. And if you look at the condition of the media in America, it makes perfect sense because that's exactly what they've become. They have become emotionally distressed. They are invested. So NBC tweets out that the president breaks with tradition and for the first time since 2002 doesn't visit the troops. And then a few hours later, the president shows up in Iraq. So instead of them saying, well, we were wrong, they've got to demonize it. So the original tweets, 4:39 p.m. on Christmas Day. President Trump becomes the first president since 02 not to visit troops at Christmas time. Though he called military personnel on Tuesday, Trump did not visit a hospital or a military base. NBCNews.com. Well, a few hours later, where did the president show up? The president showed up in Iraq. To a rock star response, an absolute rock star response. Now, when you look at the men and women in the military, and this is something that both sides of the political aisle share for the most part, which is a respect for the men and women that serve. There are those that can say, I don't agree with the conflicts that we are in, but I respect and support the men and women that are told to go there. They're just following orders. It's easy to get people to say they support the troops. When the president of the United States shows up in Iraq and the troops go wild, how is there a negative connotation to that for anyone? He gets on a plane then on Air Force One. And by the way, he took the first lady with him. They go to Germany, visit troops there. So some of the troops there were so excited to see the president, they had him signing the MAGA hats, the Make America Great Again hats. And of course, the media had to report that President Trump may have gotten them into a very difficult situation because you're not allowed to do anything overtly political or partisan when you're in uniform. And by asking for an autograph, they may have violated protocol and military rules. There may be repercussions against these men and women. Isn't that fascinating? When the troops wanted selfies with President Obama, He was just the greatest president that ever lived. Look at how much they love him. Look at him going out and making sure he gives a Merry Christmas to the men and women in uniform. And when Donald Trump goes, he either A, does it the wrong way, B, does it for the wrong reasons, or C, causes more trouble than it's worth. Or D, in this case, all of the above. It is, again, predictable and laughable. Start with a panel on one of the MSNBC shows. We'll get to Joe Scarborough in a moment because he is true. As I said, he is showing himself to just be completely unhinged when it comes to Donald Trump. And I don't know that Joe Scarborough understands how foolish he looks to most people. But it's just there's not that Joe Scarborough cares that anybody, especially someone like me, respects him or not. There's no respectability in Joe Scarborough anymore. It is a seething hatred, and he will find a reason to say horrible things about the sitting president of the United States. And Mika gets in a very low, very dramatic voice and just agrees with how disappointing it is. Remember, this is the couple that bring experts on that say, I don't have to sit down and examine the president. I can tell you he's mentally ill. Against every protocol in that field, you never issue a diagnosis of a patient you've never examined. But they found people that are willing to do it and bring them on all the time to warn the American people that he's mentally ill. The president of the United States. We'll get to that. But first, a panel at MSNBC. It's not what he did. He just did it the wrong way.
Joining me as well, Mika Ouyang, who is Vice President of National Security Program for the national think tank Third Way. And I wonder what you think as you see these pictures of the president and the first lady in Iraq.
Look, I think it's important that the president goes and visits the troops, but he's doing this backwards. His decision to pull out of Syria and when the fight against ISIS is not quite finished, close, but not quite, and then going to visit the troops after that, typically what you would want is a president to go out to visit the troops, see what's going on the ground, have conversations with his generals, actually meet with the Secretary of Defense instead of slamming the door on him. And then make a decision about what the right thing is to do here. But instead, he's done this all backwards. And in fact, the way that he's done this, even if it is the right decision ultimately, the way that he's done it will cause more chaos in the region because it's a precipitous withdrawal, not coordinated with our allies, when he's putting our allies, the Turks, in grave danger from our NATO ally in Turkey. And I think that what he's going to do here is going to wind up much more chaotic than if he had actually stopped, thought about it, and made a deliberate plan for what to do in Syria.
What's very funny about all of that is they cover all the bases on MSNBC, because Scarborough actually said that the reason why Trump pulled out of Syria is because he's afraid of Turkey, that Turkey warned him and said for him to get out. So this woman says we're putting the Turks in danger. Scarborough says it's because they threatened us and we're afraid of the Turks. So no matter which you think, they've got you covered on MSNBC. One way or another, Donald Trump is either a terrified buffoon or he is just a hateful person that doesn't care about the rest of the world. But isn't it fascinating that she actually utters the phrase that even if long term it ends up being the right thing to do, it's the way he did it that's going to cause problems. Again, they are emotionally about 14 years old. They are teenagers emotionally. When it comes to this president, they are all in emotionally. First of all, they would lose every bit of content they had if this president wasn't in office. They keep, again, it's like those organizations that claim to be a nonprofit and they're trying to solve some kind of a problem. They realize that the problem's ever solved, their nonprofit's not necessary. So part of the issue is perpetuating the problem they're trying to solve. If Donald Trump goes away, they've got no content left on their shows. But she actually had to acknowledge that what he's doing may be the right thing. All they did was criticize the fact that we were in Syria, and now the president gets out, and now it's a problem. It is so predictable. I could have written what she said for her before I heard her say it. And speaking of predictability, Joe Scarborough. Coming up in a few moments, it's Joe Scarborough, not to be outdone with his criticism of the president, how he behaved, because, of course, nothing the president does. If he didn't go, it was a horrible thing that he didn't go. Then when he did go, it was a terrible thing that he went. You'll hear Scarborough talk about it here in just a moment. Again, I'm Mike Broomhead, and this is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
What's that noise?
That's the home security guy. He's installing our alarms.
You're going to be safe as clams when I'm done drilling this sucker in.
Yeah, maybe we should have gone with Simply Safe.
The neighbors love theirs. They set it up in half an hour. No drilling, no wires, no installation fee. And 24/7 professional monitoring is only $15 a month with no long-term contracts.
I'll just pop a rug over this hole. It'll be fine.
Go to simplysafe.com/radio now to get free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. Simplysafe.com/radio.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
So Joe Scarborough is up to what he always does, and that is to find a way to demonize the president. Being able to disagree with somebody is out the window. You can no longer just disagree. Let me mention again, let's take a step backward before I let you hear what Scarborough had to say, because I want you to think of it in this context. Many of you may not know, and I know that it's been a source with some people in the Republican Party of some kind of an argument, and I'm not sure why. I had a very good relationship with John McCain. John McCain was very good to me. Being the senator from the state of Arizona, I've known Senator McCain for many years. Before my infancy in my career in radio, it had nothing to do with being on the radio, and he was very, very kind to me. What I respected about the senator the most was I disagreed with him vehemently on a lot of things, and whether it was on the air or it was off the air, he always treated me as a peer, which I wasn't. I don't think anybody in America knew foreign policy as well as John McCain. And I know that there are political differences within the Republican Party and the very conservatives in the Republican Party. I understand all of that. John McCain was very, very good to me. I got along very well with Senator McCain. And I felt his loss when he died as a personal one. Outside of politics, outside of his time in the Senate, outside of the end of his Senate career, whatever your thoughts are on the politics of John McCain was a good man to me and was a friend. And I was very, very saddened by the loss of Senator McCain personally. And when Senator McCain passed away, the left gave us all a lecture on how we should behave like Senator McCain and be bipartisan. If you remember, it's time to stop all of this vitriolic commentary toward each other and all of the rock throwing politically and all of these horrible things. We have to stop. We've got to stop. When George H.W. Bush passed away, I've had the privilege of knowing some people that were very, very close. A friend of mine in Phoenix that worked with George H.W. Bush for 41 years. He worked alongside the president. And I never met H.W. I have had three or four meetings, short meetings with George W. Bush, who I think is another a fine human being. But when George H.W. Bush died, we heard the same thing. That's what leadership is right there. That's what leadership is. That's how leadership used to be. This is what we used to have in a president. This is what we need again. We need leadership that isn't hateful. We need disagreement and civil disagreement, but we don't need to be going after people personally. We don't need all these personal attacks. This is how leadership is supposed to be. You keep those lectures in your mind from people like Joe Scarborough. You keep those lectures in mind that Joe Scarborough gave America in reference to the death of John McCain and George H.W. Bush and the nostalgic look at what politics used to be like. Keep that in mind when you hear Scarborough say this about the president's visit to Iraq.
You know, the president's trip to Iraq and Germany, they were very good and valuable uses of the president's time over the Christmas holidays. And the troops he visited there were clearly happy to see him, buoyed by his presence. And I think every American should be grateful for that. But we should also be concerned that Mr. Trump once again used a captive audience of American heroes to push his unpopular domestic agenda, this time the wall. You know, Churchill didn't attack Attlee at Yalta. Ike didn't blast Democrats when he was in Korea. And Ronald Reagan didn't try to undermine Speaker Jim Wright when he was standing at the Brandenburg Gate telling Mr. Gorbachev to tear down that wall. It's all very unbecoming and all very Bush League. And you can bet 41 and 43 would have never treated the troops so disrespectfully.
Isn't that fascinating? Now more lectures from this guy. More lectures from the guy that calls the president mentally ill. More lectures from the guy that calls this president a coward. A few moments ago, we played an MSNBC panel, which they brought in an expert. She said, I'd be interesting to know your thoughts, as if she didn't know what this woman were about to say. One of her criticisms of the president was the way he did things. Let's get out of Syria. Let's get rid of your defense secretary. Let's do all of these things and then go see the troops. You did it backwards. She said that we are putting the Turks in great danger. She said we are putting the nation of Turkey in great danger by what we're doing. Odd. Scarborough must have not gotten the memo, because this is what he said the president did.
Last week, it's sad to say, our president caved like a quivering coward to threats coming from Turkey's thuggish leader, Erdogan. Donald Trump bailed out on our allies, and he ran off his beloved defense secretary, all in response to a threatening phone call from the leader of Turkey? Are you kidding me?
So they got their bases covered, whichever it is. Maybe it's both. There's Joe Scarborough, the lecturer on civility in American politics. Him and his partner in crime, his wife, Mika, they sit on that show every day and they call the president mentally ill. They call him stupid. They call him a buffoon. They call him a coward. And then they lecture you and they lecture me and the president and Republicans on how we're supposed to be civil. That's why I tell you that I will continue to say that the media is not doing their jobs. Their job is to tell two sides of a story, not mine. I am an opinion giver. Talk radio is about my opinion. They claim to be journalists. Joe Scarborough also claims to be the moral authority. Joe Scarborough wants to lecture you and me. I was a friend of John McCain, and Joe Scarborough's going to lecture me on how I should behave in light of the death of my friend? And then he goes out and calls the president a coward. The president of the United States. They are telling the world and our enemies that our president is mentally ill. They bring experts on to say it. Experts on to say he's mentally ill. He calls him a coward. This is why Joe Scarborough is a joke. I'm a simple guy on a talk radio station from Phoenix, Arizona, and Joe Scarborough couldn't win a political debate with me if I gave him my answers 24 hours in advance. You know why? Not because he's not smarter than me. He's much smarter than me. His emotions have gotten the best of him, that all he can do is call this president a coward. It's a shameful way to behave, especially when you're going to lecture me on how to be civil. It's shameful. We have an update coming up on ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, how an 8-year-old dies in their custody, and what the truth behind all of that really is. You don't know the full story yet. I'm going to give it to you in a moment. This is the Glenn Beck Program. My name is Mike Broomhead. Stick around.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I really love my office chair. It's not a no-name superstore piece of junk. I'm talking about the new X-Chair office chair. It's modern, it's stylish, it's really luxurious. It is the most comfortable chair that you can sit in. It's an X chair. You'll have more energy. You'll concentrate better. You'll be more productive. Sitting in it is believing. And now X chair is introducing a new model available for a limited time only to my listeners. It's the X Basic. It's got the great comfort, support, style that you expect from an X chair at a great price that makes it really affordable for just about anybody. All X chairs are on sale now for $100 off. Go to xchairbeck.com. That's the letter xchairbeck.com. Or call 844-4XCHAIR. Check out the new X Basic. No questions asked. Guaranteed complete satisfaction for 30 days. Use the promo code Beck, 844-4XCHAIR or xchairbeck.com.
There's like 40 hosts, thousands of hours of information and entertainment, and you can get it with some subscriptions as low as $4.99 a month. It's theblazetv.com.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year from the Glenn Beck program. I'm Mike Broomhead, and until Monday's show for Glenn Beck, we appreciate you joining us. I appreciate part of your time and the outpouring of support on social media. It's a lot of fun. Keep in touch with me on those social media accounts. I love to interact with people on those. I do maintain my own account, so always feel free to reach out. The narrative about the border and the issue is another one that's very personal, being a border state person like myself, living where I do. What's happening now, we've had two children in custody, in ICE custody, die. The first one, which you have not heard about, you heard about the death, but you haven't heard about the aftermath, in which the parent said he doesn't hold Border Patrol or ICE or anybody in the government responsible for any of that. Of course, you're not going to hear that. And now we know that the eight-year-old Guatemalan boy who died in U.S. custody, we now know that the father refused medical care initially for the child. Flu-like symptoms, and the father refused medical care. All of this, of course, is because it's Donald Trump's fault. The same people that cared for the unaccompanied minors during the Obama administration with the same policies and the same care and compassion are the same people working for those agencies now. You can't account for what bad people do. And I just want to ask a fair question of those that want to demonize this president into being an evil human being. If there was one thing I wish I could change, it would be that. It's fair game to disagree with this president or anyone else. If politically you don't align yourself with him, I understand that you want someone else to be president in 2020. I went through 8 years of Obama. I didn't agree with anything that president did. I didn't like him particularly as president, as a person. I mean, I always figured he would be an interesting person to talk to, but I didn't like him as president. I didn't like the foreign policy of weakness. I didn't like allowing the Syrians to cross that line three times. I certainly didn't like the way he had John Kerry as his Secretary of State. I thought he was the poorest example of a Secretary of State that our country has had, at least in my lifetime, if not beyond that. Remember our reaction to the Charlie Hebdo terrorist attack. We delayed any kind of a formal response for, I think, almost 2 weeks. And then John Kerry showed up in Paris and he brought James Taylor to sing "You've Got a Friend" to the people of France. I thought it was a joke. I honestly thought it was a Saturday Night Live skit. And then I found out, no, that was the official U.S. response. The entire time they were cutting a deal which the world said was a bad idea with the Iranians and nuclear weapons, at every level of their government, they were chanting death to America. The Ayatollah did it in a speech to the people. The people were chanting it. He chanted it back. Their highest level general said it doesn't matter what deal is struck, they're always going to be our enemy. While their parliament was voting on a bill that had to do with the deal with the Americans, while they were voting, the members of the Iranian parliament chanted death to America in the chambers of their parliament. Can you imagine a scenario where members of the United States Congress would be voting in a deal with a foreign nation while members of Congress chanted death to that country? And yet John Kerry stayed at the table and negotiated with those people. I didn't agree with anything during the Obama administration. I was surprised he beat John McCain, and I was surprised that he beat Mitt Romney. I don't know why the American people elected him twice, but I'll tell you what I didn't do. I didn't try to find a loophole way out of the presidency. I was more concerned that the American people would elect somebody of that ideology twice. And as President Obama said about the Russians and Donald Trump, that the Russians have never meddled in our elections. They're never going to be able to meddle in our elections. Stop whining and go get votes, which Donald Trump did. Donald Trump is the president of the United States by virtue of the American people. You can complain about the popular vote all you want. You can try to get rid of the Electoral College all you want. He's the president of the United States. The unaccompanied minors and the facilities that hold them were built and filled by the Obama administration first. The same federal agency of Immigration and Customs Enforcement that was charged to care for those children back in 2009 are charged with caring for those children now. There were horrible things that happened to those children under the Obama administration. Some of those kids were sent out into foster homes where they were sent into slave labor and they were abused. Was that Barack Obama's fault? People on the left? No, it wasn't. But now when something happens, it's Donald Trump's fault. Why? Because you have the emotional maturity of a 12-year-old when it comes to Donald Trump. Instead of just saying, I don't agree with him. I don't think we need a wall. You hate him. He's not wrong. He's racist. He's not wrong. He's homophobic. He's not wrong. He's anti-woman. He's not wrong. He's mentally ill. You've demonized him, and therefore, when you're evil, there is no good in you. Even a broken clock is right twice a day, which is the only time, which is the only way that he's ever right is by accident. And even when he's right, he did it the wrong way. So the second child dies in U.S. custody and we find out the father refused medical care. How reported has that been? It hasn't, because it doesn't fit their hate-filled narrative. They hate him. Therefore, you're going to hate him. And if you don't hate him, you're one of the deplorables. You're one of the idiots. They even go after you now. It used to be the voters were off limits. So Trump has a cult following of people that are mind numb to any kind of criticism toward him. But that wasn't the case with the Obama administration. Do you remember the elementary school teachers and those little kids standing in that video? Barack Hussein Obama. Teachers teaching these kids to chant this. And anybody who said that that was indoctrination, well, you are just a conspiracy theorist nut job. Isn't it funny that the conspiracy theorist nut jobs are now the network anchors at every cable news network and some of the mainstream networks all over television? They don't want to win an election in 2020. They want to end this one. I don't wish anybody ill, and I'm not wishing ill of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but she's an older lady that has been ill in health. She just had cancer surgery. You don't think for a moment that the Democrats are panicking, thinking if one of the most liberal justices on the court cannot continue before 2020 and this president gets a chance to name another nominee that they're not going to, and that they're not terrified of who we would put on the court and how it would change the court for the next 30 to 40 years. That's all it's about, is winning. They're not, they know the border needs to be fixed. This story, these stories about these overwhelmed and overrun facilities where unaccompanied minors and where families and even, you know, just people are coming across and being processed through these facilities where 1,000 people over the Christmas holiday are dropped in El Paso, Texas, hundreds dropped in my home city of Phoenix, Arizona, and it's happening in cities all over the country. Instead of them working together to figure out what they can do to stop this from happening, they're not going to give one inch because they're not going to give a victory on any level to this president. And part of it is because their base would shred them. The liberal base that screams and shouts at the media also screams and shouts at their elected officials. And Chuck Schumer is terrified of the backlash that would happen to him if he dared compromise with this president. Nancy Pelosi wants to be Speaker of the House. You don't think that they cut deals to make that happen? You don't think that the new liberal faction of the Democrat Party coming in, the progressive caucus in the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives, didn't have a big say in the stance that Nancy Pelosi was going to take in agreement for their vote to be Speaker? If you don't believe that's true, you're not paying attention. So what happens? These kids are held hostage. They're going to blame the president. But your Congress, my Congress, is holding these kids and these families and these people hostage for political reasons so that Nancy Pelosi can be once again named the Speaker of the House and Chuck Schumer doesn't have to answer to a base as to why he made a compromise that was better for the country and for these very people that they claim to care about. A little bit more on this in a few moments, and we got some good news before we end the show. A happy story for this Christmas season. I know it's a couple of days later, but a Christmas season happy ending right around the corner. I'm Mike Broomhead. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Hey, happy New Year, Merry Christmas from the Glenn Beck Program. I'm Mike Broomhead. I'll in through Monday's show for Glenn. We appreciate you spending some time with us today. So we were talking about this migrant father, and he denied medical care for his son who later died in custody. And the reason why it's important is you want to make sure that people have accurate stories. If something is done that's wrong, it should be exposed. It should be fixed. No doubt. If someone breaks the law, they got to be punished for it. I didn't care about the investigation, the Mueller investigation. It was, you know, if the president had done something or someone on his team had done something and colluded with the Russians, the American people had a right to know. I wholeheartedly believe that. Let the chips fall where they may. If somebody breaks the law, they should be punished. I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with a one-sided investigation. You know, it's gone from collusion to obstruction of justice to campaign finance to nothing. We've seen nothing. But if there was something that we were doing as a country, as a government agency doing something wrong, people should be held accountable. We shouldn't run from that. Things like that happen, and we got to do what we can to stop them from happening again. But you aren't hearing the rest of the story. You're not, with all due respect to Paul Harvey, you're not hearing the rest of the story. You're not hearing that the father denied medical care. You're not hearing about 518 migrants are expected to be released by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement today, or yesterday, actually. That makes more than 1,000 migrants released in the past 3 days onto the streets of El Paso. Not hearing that much, are you? Unless you're in El Paso. Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative that there's an issue. They don't want to tell you there's a big problem. They want to tell you Trump is the problem. They want to tell you that you're the problem because we want to secure the border and do the right thing with immigration. I am an immigration advocate. By the way, I am an immigration advocate. We should have legal immigration. I like fresh blood into this country. I like the idea of giving the world a chance at the American dream. I like the president's plan of getting rid of the chain migration and the lottery system, that it should be based on merit, hardworking people that are willing, and it shouldn't be based on wealth, but your ability and your willingness to work. I agree with all of those things. I embrace legal immigration. But it means nothing when people are doing it the wrong way and getting the same results. Before we get out of here, the Iraqi cabinet, the Iraqi government, voted in favor of amending its national holidays law to include December 25th as the occasion of the birth of Jesus Christ. The Iraqi government tweeted out, Christmas Day is to be an official holiday across Iraq. Happy Christmas to our Christian citizens, all Iraqis, and to all who are celebrating around the world. How's that for a step forward? At one time, there were 1.4 million Christians that lived in Iraq. The number is now somewhere around 300,000. For a long time, with the uprising of ISIS, anybody who wasn't as radical Islamic as they were lived in fear of not just death, but of the most heinous death possible. What they did to some of the people in Iraq, the Yazidis, and how they treated them was devastating. And now you've got, with ISIS gone, a government that's acknowledging Christmas. Symbolically, a huge step, right? Something that should be embraced and rejoiced. As Christians, we're watching Christianity die in the very part of the world where Christianity began. And now you've got the Iraqi government acknowledging the national holiday of Christmas. Just a fun, a good news way to end the show today. It's just one more way for us to say, you know, and for us, for those of you that are people of faith, we understand, we do the best we can. God's in control. We are thankful for some good news for our fellow Christians being persecuted across the world, but especially in that part of the world, that the Iraqi government is going to acknowledge Christmas. That was great news. Once again, social media users, keep reaching out. On Twitter, I am at Broomhead Show. On Facebook, it's the Mike Broomhead Show fan page. And on Instagram, Mike Broomhead, all one word. Look forward to talking with you throughout the rest of this day. I'll be back tomorrow to host the show. Appreciate you being with me for part of your day today. And it's always a pleasure to be in front on the Glenn Beck Show. The greatest audience in America. Love the fact that you listen. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone. God bless.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.